In a chaotic world that often feels hostile to creativity, Austin Kleon's Keep Going arrives as both lifeline and lighthouse. The book has become something of a modern creative Bible, with fans ranging from Elizabeth Gilbert to filmmaker Ava DuVernay, who keeps a copy on her desk. What makes this slim volume resonate so deeply with creative souls everywhere is its radical honesty. The creative life never gets easier. The fundamental challenge remains constant, whether you're facing burnout or riding success. How do you keep going when everything seems designed to stop you? The answer isn't some magical productivity hack or secret technique. Instead, it's about developing sustainable practices that help you weather both external chaos and internal doubt. These practices aren't just about producing more work, they're about creating a life where creativity can flourish despite everything. Forget the myth of creativity as a heroic linear path. Creative life resembles Sisyphus rolling his boulder uphill, or Bill Murray in Groundhog Day, a spiral bringing us back to new starting points. History's most prolific artists develop daily practices that insulate them from both success and failure. Stephen King sits at the same desk at the same time daily, regardless of his last book's reception. Haruki Murakami maintains a strict routine of writing, running, and early bedtimes with remarkable consistency. Creativity requires a paradoxical balance. Connection to the world for inspiration, yet disconnection to transform inputs into something new. Joseph Campbell called this necessary retreat a bliss station, a dedicated space or time where you disconnect from outside influences. For Virginia Woolf, it was a room of her own. For Thoreau, a cabin in the woods. The dimensions matter less than the psychological boundary between the world's demands and your creative needs. Our constant connectivity has become creativity's greatest enemy. Notifications, social media, and the news cycle destroy the fertile creative state before it can take root. Avoid checking news first thing in the morning when your mind is freshest. Replace FOMO, fear of missing out, with JOMO, joy of missing out, celebrating the freedom of intentional absence. We live in a culture obsessed with titles rather than actions. Many desire identities, writer, artist, entrepreneur, without doing the actual work, writing, making art, building something. Saying, "I take photographs," describes what you do. "I am a photographer," locks you into an identity with expectations. Buckminster Fuller noted, "I seem to be a verb, an evolutionary process." Children understand this naturally. A 2-year-old with crayons cares about drawing, the verb, not the drawing, the noun. They're immersed in process without concern for results. When creativity feels heavy, follow Kurt Vonnegut's advice. Make something and destroy it as spiritual exercise. Experiment with unfamiliar tools, create intentionally terrible art, or spend time with children to rediscover playfulness. As artist Sol LeWitt advised Eva Hesse, try to do some bad work, mainly relax and let everything go to hell. This permission to fail often leads to breakthroughs. Focusing on the process, the verbs of creation rather than the nouns they produce, can reignite creative joy. Our culture routinely converts talents into income streams, replacing hobbies with side hustles, as if non-monetized activities waste time. While some fortunately earn from what they love, this path risks poisoning creativity. Consider keeping overhead low and preserving parts of your creative practice from marketplace demands. William Carlos Williams worked as a physician while writing poetry at night, not just for financial security, but to shield his art from commercial pressure while maintaining community connections that enriched his work. Online metrics can be as corrupting as money and rarely correlate with true value. Would Emily Dickinson have gone viral? Would Van Gogh have thrived on Instagram? Instead, create gifts for people you care about. When making something specifically for someone you know, you work from generosity and connection rather than market calculation. Sister Mary Carita Kent, a revolutionary pop artist to the 1960s, found beauty in advertising slogans and mundane landscapes, transforming common things uncommon. She taught students to use paper finders to isolate overlooked details. Great artists consistently transformed ordinary circumstances. Harvey Pekar made art from his file clerk job. Emily Dickinson wrote on envelope scraps, and Sally Mann photographed in her family's backyard. You don't need an exotic life for remarkable work, just pay closer attention to your everyday existence. As Magritte noted, the goal is to breathe new life into the way we look at the ordinary things around us. This requires slowing down. Drawing becomes a powerful practice, forcing you to truly see what's before you rather than merely glance at it. In an attention-stealing age, first protect this precious resource, then direct it toward what matters. What you attend to shapes your mind and becomes the material of your work. Walking is a magical cure for muddled thinking and creative blocks. Throughout history, artists have relied on it. Wallace Stevens composed poems during his daily 2-mile walk to work. Nietzsche wrote while hiking in the Swiss Alps, and Dickens walked 20 miles around London when sleepless. Thoreau spent 4 hours daily in the woods, noting, "The moment my legs begin to move, my thoughts begin to flow." Walking battles both inner and outer demons. As filmmaker Ingmar Bergman said, "Demons hate fresh air." Moving your body through space, feeling sunshine or rain, hearing birds, nodding to neighbors, reconnects you with reality in ways screens cannot. When glued to devices, the world seems terrible. Step outside and you rediscover what's actually happening. People smiling, children playing, plants growing. Walking's rhythm creates an ideal thinking environment, providing just enough physical engagement to free the mind. Many writers find their best ideas come not while sitting at their desks, but while walking afterward. After 30 years as a nun in Los Angeles, artist Carita Kent gained wisdom watching a maple tree outside her Boston window change through seasons. She observed how the tree's spring beauty came from winter's hardships, a perfect metaphor for creativity seasons requiring different actions and patience. While culture celebrates overnight successes, the most instructive examples are perennials like photographer Bill Cunningham cycling through New York at 87 or comedian Joan Rivers performing until her final days. Gardening provides the ideal metaphor for sustainable creativity, requiring patience, attention to conditions, acceptance of uncontrollable factors, and faith in unseen processes. When Hitler rose to power, Leonard Wolf told his wife Virginia, "I'm planting iris and they will be flowering long after he is dead." He was right. 21 years after Hitler's suicide, those purple flowers still bloomed in their orchard. The creative life isn't about grand achievements, but continuing to plant seeds regardless of who might eventually enjoy their flowering. It's about finding joy in the planting itself and tending your garden daily through all seasons.